Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyu and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio and Podcast. Have you ever wondered if the heart has intelligence? Studies showing the importance of the heart in the heart-brain system have actually been around for decades and the research continues to accumulate. The heart has its own intelligence and its own neurological system and electromagnetic field are actually much larger and more powerful than the brains. Dr. Madalina, a leading cardiologist at the Swedish Medical Center, has developed the HeartQ method alongside with her husband. And this method is guiding people to reconnect with their authentic selves and activate their heart intelligence in order to live a heart-centered, aligned, and fulfilling life. Hi, Madalina. Welcome to the Healthy Debate Show. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful, Andra. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, absolutely. I'm so curious about this topic. I've never talked about intelligence of the heart. And hopefully you can bring a bit more clarity for myself and for everyone that's listening. But before we start discussing about heart intelligence and your method that you've developed alongside your husband, please tell us a bit about your journey. How did you become a cardiologist first? And then probably this includes a bit of a story around your passion for heart. And then we'll slowly, slowly, hopefully transition towards your current passion, which is heart intelligence. So, yeah, the stage is all yours, Madalina. We're listening.
Thank you so much, Andra. Yeah, this is something I am so incredibly passionate about. And so everything for me started about, I was always pulled to the space of the heart. As long as I can remember, there was something about the heart and medicine and healing. It was something that I was pulled and I loved. I became a cardiologist, but then what was happening up about 10 years ago or so, I was living life as a really busy, successful cardiologist. And, you know, I had two daughters, my husband, and cardiology is very difficult. You know, there's emergencies and stresses. And, basically was living life in a kind of in a survival mode, you know, waking up, you know, morning till night, working, emergencies, fast paced treadmill. Living like almost like as a schedule, like there was barely any space for me and trying to serve everyone. Putting pressure on myself to do everything, go above and beyond, and, you know, living from all kinds of, you know, patterns, you know, workaholism, overachiever, perfectionist, people pleaser, yes sayer, but really in a lot of self-denial because it was just, you know, quote, no time for me, right? And I was really good at doing that. I was really good at it. And one of the ways, the thing that kept me going, that was my technique, was running. Running was something that I used so that I can keep running in this matrix, keep running in my life, keep succeeding in what, you know, was told, you know, what was considered to be the successful way to be. And then something happened about 10 years ago in this crazy life of mine. Something happened that completely changed my life, the trajectory of my life. And what happened is I went for a run and my usual run and I developed this really severe back pain. I thought it'd be something that would just kind of go away and it would be nothing, but it turns out that this pain would not go away. And here I was, you know, with my medicine scientific approach, like not understanding why is this pain not going away. I mean, I was barely able to walk. So I went from being this really fit person, running around, doing everything to like barely being able to walk. And I couldn't find a cure and I couldn't understand why it was happening. So this was going on for some time. And then what this ended up turning into is something much deeper because I ended up going to some kind of a state of an existential crisis or a midlife crisis where I didn't understand like all these emotions that I had been suppressing and not facing about me and my life. They were just flooding me and I didn't know how to deal with it. And so here I was and then basically what ended up happening is like what I thought was the worst thing that happened to me turned out to be the best thing that happened to me because I was so, you know, spending my time trying to heal other people's hearts, but I hadn't really, you know, healed my own. And so what happened is somehow after 1 year of, you know, really suffering, having no answers and just getting worse and feeling stuck and feeling so unhappy, something happened where I got a book by Louise Hay called You Can Heal Your Life on Wayne Dyer. And then I just really started going within myself. And I realized that what life wanted me to do, because I wasn't doing it, it was really meant for me to be still and stop all the doing and running in life and start being in my life, which is something I hadn't really done before. And so then I started like bringing all my passion and excitement that I was bringing outside of me, and I brought it inside of me. So it's like I kind of went inside of me and I turned the lights on and I said, oh my God, like, who am I? What is my purpose in life? What am I here to do? Who am I beneath all these layers and patterns and all of that? So that was the journey where there I started going really deep within myself in a state of beingness and just really becoming passionate about that. And so what I basically spent, you know, years, you know, trying to understand who I was, realizing there was so much healing that I needed to do from old, you know, childhood trauma, did all kinds of experiences and immersions and workshops in all kinds of realms of consciousness, of the heart, of spirituality and energy healing and psychology. And what I ended up realizing after this journey of mine is that, number one, you know, I had been living life not authentically, not from my heart. I had been living life from this unconscious programming, from my nervous system, you know, all these things that had to do with limiting beliefs and conditioned patternings and all that had to do with, you know, old trauma that was unhealed, that had to do with me being disconnected from my heart, which is what happened early on in childhood. And so because of stuff that happened, I ended up leaving myself, leaving my heart and living in my mind, living in the nervous system. And so then there was all this healing that I needed to go through and to heal. And then that's what brought me into my heart and realizing that the reason that I was suffering, the reason that I was not in my authentic self, the reason that I was so unhappy and unfulfilled is because I had created a misalignment. I was not living from my heart. I was not living from my truth. I was not living from my wholeness. And then I started really going into my heart and really reconnecting and experiencing who I really was, my wholeness and, you know, spirituality, meditation, started really tuning into my heart intelligence, my authentic self, my truth. And then from that point on, my whole life changed forever. And I started living life and creating my life no longer from the unconscious programming and the nervous system, which is just creates, you know, unease and disease and problems, and really tuning into the consciousness and intelligence of my heart and letting that be the guide of how I live my life. And then after having had this experience, it became my deepest passion to bring it out in others, to help people to also reconnect with their own hearts and really kind of remember and recognize and experience their own wholeness, their own truth, their own vitality, their own passion for who they really are beneath all of these layers. And that's what now I am doing. And this is now what I'm so passionate about and what I'm bringing out into the world and what I feel that true healing is really all about.
Madalina, you do have a fascinating story, and I'm really pleased to hear that. Definitely, you sound like you found your path now. But I do have a few questions. I want to know if after this healing journey, your physical pain disappeared. So that's one thing. And then I'm curious to see if you're still practicing cardiology or you've completely shifted your existence to being a coach or working more towards supporting others.
Yeah, so this is such a fascinating question that you're asking me, because I spent 1 year obsessed, you know, trying to heal myself, went from doctors to doctors and nothing worked. I actually just kept getting worse. It's almost like I was making it worse by trying to force it. And when I just let go and I just went in myself and I started experiencing the depths of who I was, it just all settled into place. Everything went away. I just, without even trying, it just went away. I healed. I healed my whole back pain, the hip pain, the plantar fasciitis. And you know, Andra, not just that, but I talked about the back pain, but I had other things. I used to have like recurrent pneumonia. I used to have like UTIs. You have GI issues that were just continuously happening. And all of those disappeared. just went away. I didn't even try to heal them, but they all just went away. And this is what made me so curious. I said to myself, what's going on? What is it that before was happening that now was so different? What is it that created so much health within me? And that's why I feel that, you know, when it comes to healing and health, there's something so much deeper than the outer layer that we're focusing on in medicine. And the other question is that, yes, I am still a practicing cardiologist, but I've completely shifted the way that I approach patients. I really have a very holistic approach, and I support patients to not only take care of the, you know, physicality aspect, but to really go within themselves and have a holistic approach to their healing. And then, of course, my husband and I, when we started the HeartQ program and the HeartQ approach, we have our own, you know, processes in place for that. So I'm doing both, but it's really the same in both realms.
So, Dr. Madalina, because now we're talking about the cardiology part, yes? So I switched. <Yes. laughs> So do you think from your vast experience, do you think that heart problems are symptoms of emotional distress? Is there any link between these two, or they're completely, or heart problems or heart diseases are rooted somewhere else?
Oh my goodness, what an amazing question. And when once I recognize this for myself, it's like I see this in every single patient, and you almost want to trace it back. There's a way to trace it back to, and that's where it comes down to, because the physical aspect is the very last layer that happens. But beneath that, there's an ocean that is present that, you know, people haven't tapped into and accessed. And sometimes when people have some kind of a heart problem or anything really, sometimes the focus goes so much on fixing that thing that there is not enough focus on going within myself and asking, where is this coming from? What is the deeper source that this is coming from? And so much of it that I have observed and seen and experienced is coming from unhealed trauma and emotional distress and not knowing patients just not knowing how to deal with that, how to deal with their emotions and actually having a unhealthy way of dealing with it, because this is not something that's really taught, you know, to us. We don't get this kind of teaching. This is not something that people know what to do. But absolutely, I definitely see the link. And this is what I offer to people, to go within and to really discover that, and then to use our heart as the way that we hold space for that process, to do it in a loving, compassionate way, not in a judgmental way that unconsciously tends to happen.
Emotional, how do we develop emotional health? How do we reach a balance away from daily distractions and daily challenges? Because you very beautifully explained in the first part of our conversation how you did it for yourself. But supporting others and advising others is quite a different story, because it's about understanding, you know, their background, their needs, the trauma, because you mentioned trauma, and I'm quite passionate. We spoke about trauma quite a lot on the Healthy Debate Show. So how do we reach this balance, and how do we develop emotional health?
What a great question. You know, Andra, my experience is that when it comes to our overall health, there's a holistic thing that needs to happen. And this is what I tell people too, because when they end up coming to the doctor's office, it's the very last thing that happens, but it's always a calling back to that person's own health. And there is a physical way to approach. Of course, you want to make sure that you're eating healthy and honoring our body and nourishing ourselves with food that is medicine and not that creates inflammation. So that's a big part of it as well. And then there's the element of health and spirituality and emotions. And emotional health is something that I really take people, and I really recommend that you go through a process where when we wake up in the morning, you know, we really sit, we create that sacred space, we create that time to sit with ourselves, to allow ourselves to be without, you know, the tetherings of the world. You know, so often we wake up in the morning and run to the outside and spending all of our attention, you know, outward. It's so important to bring that attention inward and to look at ourselves, to journal, to be within, to feel whatever is coming up, to connect with our hearts, to go on nature, walks and to nourish ourselves. And if there is, you know, difficult emotions and trauma that has happened, to heal that. You know, a lot of times we get triggers, you know, we get triggered by people or triggered by experiences, and we live that life in emotional reactivity. And that actually is such a big thing that creates disease, when we're having the emotional reactivity and triggers that happen. And that is actually a portal that is telling us that there's something there. Whenever we have emotional triggers, it's telling us there's something there for us that we need to heal and go inside ourselves and discover, what is there inside me that needs to be healed, that I need to pay attention to, that I need to love, that I need to forgive, and then that I need to grow into and grow out of. So there's a depth there. And a lot of times it's something that people are not equipped to do on their own. And so there is a, you know, recommendation, and through our program, we know we support people with that. But if there's deeper trauma that has to happen, I definitely recommend that, you know, there is support that they seek for that.
Dr. Madalina, you made a great point about the connection between body and mind, and even so, but I'm also thinking about some of us that are really struggling to identify when enough is enough. How do we know that it's time for us to stop and start looking inside and start exploring maybe some situations, some events from the past? Because you said you had great knowledge, you were practicing cardiology, you had great experience. I'm sure you were exposed to books and to information that's related to the psychological side of humans. And it took you a while until you found your own feet and you found, you know, the real call. So how do we know when enough is enough? How do we know where to stop? What are some of the signs that are telling us that we're not living a healthy emotional life?
I love this question. And hark you, we have this thing that we call the angle of authenticity. And so what happens is that when we are living life not from our heart and not guided by our true authentic self, you know, that's really right for us. When we are living from our heart, we are then living on our own true heart path. There is alignment. There is harmony. There's this inner peace. There's a vitality. There's a passion. So you know when you're there, right? But then what happens is, when you're not living in the heart and you're living from the fear and the trauma and the unconscious matrix and the nervous system, then what happens is you create life unconsciously from that place. And that creates a path of misalignment. So you're living away. There's an angle that moves you away from your authentic path. And the greater that you're moving away from your authentic path, you are, the more the suffering that happens. And this is how it shows up in life. You know, what happens in life is a reflection of what's going on that is telling us what's going on inside us. So anything like, you know, hits against us, whether it's physical pain, whether it's a disease, where a problem that happens physically or mentally, depression, anxiety, that shows up. These are the kinds of things that, when we're hitting a wall, when we're suffering, when we're unhappy, when we're unfulfilled, when we're trying and it's just not working, you're just not getting to that feeling of fulfillment and vitality, and you're either experiencing physical disease or mental illness, you know, or depression or anxiety. That's a sign. That's a sign that there's something going on within us, that we need to stop moving forward in that direction and just pause and go the other direction, which is inward. So instead of going outward where we've been going, which is not getting us to where we want to be, that we need to pause and really retreat inside and go within ourselves and start exploring, start discovering what's really going on. Who am I really? What is my truth? And that's kind of what happened to me, exactly what happened to me.
One of the things I've noticed throughout my life was the fact that I seem to discover more of myself in relationship with others rather than exploring things on my own. So, for example, in my friendships or in my work relationships, I seem to show up as you would expect, in different ways. And for me, that was a really interesting resource to use, to see how I face the world in different instances. And I think, you know, going inside and doing some self-exploring is extremely valuable. And I think everyone should try this every single day. I think we should all have this almost critical analysis, isn't it, that allows us to take a step back and recognize where things can be better or where things don't fit. But I would also think that, you know, using the family you have around you or the friends as a resource for feedback might be a really good indicator or support in helping us understand where are we currently sitting. The reason why I'm saying this is because a lot of the times, you know, our emotions show up as frustration maybe or as anger. And sometimes an external view on how we behave and how we show up in the world might help us. What's your take on that? Have you noticed similar things? Do you think this should be an individual journey, maybe separated or less influenced than others? Or would you rather integrate this?
I really love this reflection, Andra, because I really feel that there is a blend of two things that is important to happen. Absolutely. And that's the power of the relationships. When we're just sitting on our own, only doing things, we're missing out because we're not seeing the blind spots. We're not seeing the things that are not known to us. You know, there's things in life that we know, there's things that we know we don't know, but we don't know what we don't know. And the way that we get access into those things that we don't know, which is actually what's driving us so much and what's responsible for how our life is being created, is through our relationship to others. And the relationships are serving as our mirrors to ourselves. So yes, absolutely. I really feel that it is so important to have both things happening. There's a space and a time to retreat within, to be with yourself without the distractions, without the tetherings, and just really sit in that solitude and really experience what's happening. What am I feeling? And in addition, it's so important to use our relationships as mirrors, you know, like with our deepest relationships are showing us what we're experiencing. What is happening inside us? So like, we know when things are happening and I'm getting triggered and I'm upset at this person or that thing, it's actually showing me this is how I'm responding to life. Oh, this is like my pattern and what happens when I don't believe in myself. So our relationship to ourselves is determining our relationship to others. So it's a mirror. It's actually one of the most powerful things we can do is to look at our relationships and how we show up to others is a reflection of how we're showing up to ourselves. What are our perspectives? What are our thoughts and our limitations and our patterns? So I think that combining both of these is so important in that deeper expansion and growth into who we really are.
Dr. Madalina, let's take a short break, and when we'll be back, we will be continuing our conversation about heart intelligence and emotional health.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden. Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Dr. Dr. Madalina, before the break, we were discussing about emotional health, and you made some great suggestions around how to be able to identify when we need a break, how to balance our life, and how to develop emotional health. I want us to go back to heart intelligence, because I know you spend a great amount of time focusing on your methods. So before we get there, tell us a bit more, what is heart intelligence and why is it important?
So good. What a powerful question. So heart intelligence is the intelligence that all of our hearts possess. It's always there. It's always available to us, but we're just not accessing it. And the reason we're not accessing it is because we're unconsciously blocking it with all the unconscious thoughts and patterns and limiting beliefs. So it's creating like a blockage and prevents us from accessing our heart intelligence. And so basically the way that I look at it, there's two forces in life. One is the force that happens when we're just living in our mind, living in our nervous system and driven in life, the force of, you know, driven by fear, by need to be loved and be validated and to be safe. So that's a lot of times what's driving us, if you were to like really follow back when people are making their decisions. So that's very different than heart intelligence. Heart intelligence really has to do with what is that deeper truth, that deeper wisdom that exists within each person that really nobody knows for that person. There's no greater teacher, no one that knows that deeper truth and wisdom other than your very own heart. But what happens is that the way that we get access to that, it cannot be through the mind. It cannot be through, I want to know my heart intelligence. It's not like that. It's not through forcing or willing, cannot think our way to it. It's something that we experience by coming out of the mind and really dropping and surrendering into our hearts. And there's a process for that. And when we have to open our heart, because we unconsciously close our heart to ourselves. So we have to open our hearts. And then we stay and are present in the energy and the essence and the feeling heart. And then from that space, we can access our heart intelligence, which is something that happens where we can actually feel the answer. We receive the answer. We allow it. It's not like the mind grasps and wants and needs to and forces it. It's something that we receive, that we allow. But first, it's a matter of getting out of the mind, opening the heart, really being in that presence of the heart. When you know that, you know, we've all had those moments, we're watching the sunset, playing, laughing, being in that heart expansive state. Well, in that space, once you're there, then you can actually feel into and receive your heart intelligence that tells you this is it. And the thing with the heart intelligence is that it's very important to not try to understand it, not try to say, well, why is that the case? Because that just destroys it. Makes it go away. It's something that you receive, you welcome. It may not make sense. It may be, it has nothing to do. It cares nothing about, you know, it cares nothing about you validating yourself or safety or what other external standards. The only thing that your heart intelligence is there is for you to feel what is your truth. And when we live life from that place of deep authenticity, guided by our heart intelligence, that's what creates an aligned path. And the heart is interested in that. The heart is only interested in what is it that you love, that you want, that brings out vitality, that brings out that alignment. And it's interesting because now we actually have studies. A heart math has done a lot of studies on this where, you know, the heart has a very powerful electromagnetic field. It's like 5,000 times a more powerful field, magnetic field, than that of the mind. And there, you can actually measure the electromagnetic field, and you can feel that when we are in our heart, you can measure that when you're in the heart emotions. So compassion and vitality and love, and then your heart field expands, and that's when we're open, and that's when we can access this. But when we're in the energy of stress, you know, judgment, criticism, fear, resentment, you can feel how that heart field shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. And that's because, you know, stress takes away your energy. You know, when we're in that stress state and running around and feeling all of that, it actually consumes, it takes away your energy, it takes away your vital energy. And that's why one of the reasons you get sick. Whereas when you're in your heart, you actually create energy. It's a creative energy, brings, you know, can feel the harmony, the love, the openness, the creativity. And this is, by the way, something that accounts for the flow states that you may hear about. People are in this flow state. It's a very different high compared to that other state that comes from the cortisol and adrenaline were in that stress state.
You explained it so beautiful and so nice, and I'm really fascinated about, you know, heart intelligence and what you explained about the difference, the electromagnetic field, right, that is significantly higher than your brain. I believe that was the information, right? So correct me, because you're the specialist. I'm trying to keep up. But what I'm really curious to find out, Dr. Maddalena, is what do we do when life it's not great? What do we do when we're feeling miserable? What do we do when, you know, you're crippled with anxiety? Because then it becomes a bit harder to identify even your emotions or to feel the joy that expands your heart. What do we do then?
This is exactly what happened to me way back 10 years ago when I couldn't get my back healed, when I was in so much pain and I was stuck in these energies of depression and just deep unhappiness. And like, I was so miserable. And that's exactly what happened. So what happened to me is now when I look back, it's called the Kensho moments. Whenever we're in that energy and in that state, that is actually the calling of our heart. When we're, that means that whatever we're experiencing, we are so departed and so disconnected from our true self, our path, our healing. That is actually our calling of our heart asking us to journey back. And that journey is not necessarily an easy journey because there is things that need to be healed, like trauma that hasn't been accessed. And also these mental patterns, these emotional patterns that are, you know, we've basically acquired, you know, from family, generational things that happens over the years. So there's all of that that needs to be healed. That's not something we can just, you know, avoid and connect to our hearts. It doesn't work that way. That when all of that is there, it actually creates a wall around our heart. We can't really access and go into our hearts. So first we need to open to that, you know, face that, feel that, experience that, heal all of this. And only then can we actually then connect to the expansiveness of who we really are inside. And that's what I needed to do. I realized, for instance, let me just give you an example. For me, you know, my greatest patterns were, so I was workaholism, overachiever, overdoer, perfectionist, yes sayer, and people pleaser. But if you were to look at these, and these were the things that I was living in. But if you were to look at it, like my overachieving is because I had to do enough in order to feel enough. I had to work so much so I can say to myself, okay, now I'm worthy of pleasure and love. And, you know, I had to please everyone because then I'll be loved, because I didn't have that self-love. And I didn't even know that all of this stuff was happening. I had no idea because I never really explored all of that. So that's what I call, you know, looking at the outward surface things that are going on and using them as a way to trace ourselves back to ourselves. And, you know, we do need help because we're used to living life in this way and that way. And, you know, to Einstein, I love Einstein quote, you know, he says, you cannot solve the problem with the same consciousness that created it. So here we are in the state of whatever it is we're experiencing. For us to, with that consciousness that created that state, how can we then heal ourselves like that? It doesn't work that way. We need to expand our consciousness. We need to open up to other possibilities and availability and get that help in different ways and get the support. And then we can actually, you know, really experience the healing that our hearts are calling us into.
Dr. Maddalena, please give us some details about the HeartQ method. How does it work? As you so well explained the passion for it and what's behind it, but how does it actually work?
Excellent. I love this. This is very, really, when we looked at, you know, I looked at my journey and we had all these experiences and I went through these, I basically explored everything. When I realized that I was living life from unconscious programming and the nervous system, then I said to myself, I really want to explore, how do I heal? Who am I? And all of that. So I went through the realms of so many different modalities in the realms of consciousness and energy healing and psychology and science. From all of that is how we came up with the HeartQ method, based on, you know, years and years of different experiences. And we put it all together in the HeartQ method. And there's basically four pillars to this. And the very first pillar really has to do with heart awareness. It's a process of, you know, whatever it is that you're experiencing, you know, it's a process of becoming aware, or expanding our awareness to what is really going on. We think we know what's going on. We think this is how I am. This is my problem, but there's so much more. So the first step is expanding our awareness. Okay, what is it that I think I am that I'm not? What are my unconscious patterns that I'm living from? What are my limiting beliefs? How are these triggers that I'm living in actually preventing me from being and more of who I am? So there's this awareness that happens when we turn the lights on and recognize all of these things that we were unconscious of, that we were living from our life. So that's the first part. The second part, the second pillar, is that of expression. Now, once we have an awareness, like when I had the awareness, oh my God, I realize now the reason I had to do so much and I had to do enough to feel enough. Well, it's not enough to just have that awareness, because that's just the mind level. We need to bring it in. We need to feel it. We need to express it. We need to release it. So that's the second part, is like taking what we're aware and really, really bringing it into our body, feeling it, expressing it, releasing it. There's a somatic process to that. Then the third part is, now that I recognize, oh, okay, I'm not this pattern that I thought I was. Oh, okay, I was living life in these negative thoughts, these negative beliefs that I'm really, they're not true. Then the third part is, then let's reconnect. We reconnect now to our deepest truth. We reconnect to our heart. So if that limiting belief that I thought was true is not true, then what is actually true? So the third pillar has to do with coming and connecting with the truth, with the wholeness that is within us. There's a process for that. And it's not something we think, it's something that we feel and expand into and experience. And then the fourth part is, really, once you are connecting to your heart, now the fourth part is creating life from our heart. No longer, you know, creating life from unconsciously old habits and old patterns and automatic, autonomic based ways of living, but now really consciously, intentionally living life from our heart. In the big picture, you know, with big decisions and moment to moment, you know, something's coming up and I'm reacting. Oh, wait a minute. That's my old habit coming in. Okay, what is really true for me right now? And I feel that and I express that. So that's really the four steps. Number one is conscious awareness. Number two is expression, feeling. Number three is reconnecting to our heart to discover the truth. And number four is heart-aligned action.
Dr. Madalina, after a break, I would like you to, if possible, provide us some examples of your work with your patients, because you mentioned quite close to the beginning of our conversation that you have a bit of a different approach now since you've developed the HeartQ method. So we'll take a short break and then we'll be back with Dr. Madalina to discuss heart intelligence and HeartQ method.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both Lauren is always Mark. Better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Dr. Madalina. Please give us some examples of the work you've done with some of your patients. Do you have any interesting situations where healing happened faster because of this holistic approach, or some insights of how some of the heart issues, for example, slowly disappear due to this approach, or on the contrary, when maybe things didn't work out as planned? Because that's also quite a good learning point, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So I was saying earlier that a lot of times when people are showing up in my office with heart problems, you know, they're there. And what's really happening, even though it's not really being seen or felt, is that it's actually their hearts asking them to come back to themselves. That's really what's happening. And it's really important to, you know, what I do is, okay, we take care of the problem, of course. You know, we got to take care of whatever the heart issue is. We take care of that. But then we don't want to just focus on that, you know, external fixing. We want to bring then the attention and the focus inward. What is the deeper message? So for instance, I'll give you an example of a patient that I saw in the office, you know, not too long ago. You know, I had seen this patient. He came in just, you know, heart racing episodes. He was having these arrhythmias, having high blood pressure, you know, just all these things that were happening with heart rhythm and high blood pressure and, you know, diabetes and, you know, seeking, you know, what's going on. So I took care of all the physical problems. And then after that, after we took care and figured out, okay, what needs to be done for this and what are the tests and what are some of the medications we consider, then I really had, and I can feel into people how ready they are to receive, you know, I can feel that. So then what I do is I always open up the conversation to, number one, how can we, you know, have a heart healthy life? And very, like I was saying earlier, so important is just how we honor our bodies. You know, what are we exercising? What are we eating? Are we eating nutritious food, like, you know, green stuff, or are we eating inflammatory food, which is like all the processed food? But then there is something that, you know, we felt into, that I helped him to explore, that really his heart was asking, which is, you know, this particular patient is so busy doing everything for everyone. There was really never a moment for him. He never took any time for himself. Everything was about everyone else. So he was running on this treadmill, trying to do everything for everyone, but meanwhile, completely empty and depleted inside. So that was basically that was like the heart expressing the stress that was being felt. Because that lack of him really honoring himself and honoring his heart and like really taking and care, that self-care. So then my recommendation and our discussion is how important it was to put ourselves first, not last. You know, a lot of times, you know, I'll get to me if I get to at the end of my task list. And so we had to have a paradigm shift, and really you are number one. So what does that mean? What does it mean when we make ourselves number one? And so then all these things that happen about the self-care and honoring and taking time for self, meditating, emotional exploring, journaling, and all of those things that had to happen. And it was so interesting because he actually took all my advice and all of that to his heart. And when he came back a few weeks later, what was interesting is that his blood pressure had completely normalized. So we completely got him off all the blood pressure medications. All the palpitations that were happening before completely went away. And this nervousness, he had lost weight, like 10 pounds weight. And this nervousness, this anxiety that he was experiencing really was just the incessant mind speaking and the belief. He brought himself into this himself. He brought himself into his heart. He had created these, you know, habits, because we have to create those healthy habits. And he was literally crying. Here's a man just crying, saying, oh my God, I have my life back. I have myself back. And now he had instituted all these practices in his day that was there to basically honor himself and honor his life. And that's just one example of something that, you know, we experienced recently.
It's really fascinating that the connection between body, in this case, heart and the mind. And it's so fascinating, the fact that sometimes we go through life waiting for just the perfect moment, you know, for just the person, a perfect person that will show up for us in a way that will be supportive and empathetic, and not just look at us as another number, you know, patient number five or patient number seven, and look at how individual, how interesting we are, and how individual we are, and look at us from a holistic approach rather than the doctor-patient typical relationship. And I think, you know, this opens up a really good conversation about the future of the medicine and how it should be, and how important it is to, you know, for example, counselors or psychologists to recommend physical health specialists or well-being specialists or alternative medicine specialists when they approach the healing of a patient, and vice versa. So hopefully this will maybe in 5-10 years time we'll see a switch in the paradigm, and people will understand that, you know, we're complex human beings living in complex environments, and there is this need to maybe stop separating fields and start having a more holistic approach to health. I know we're getting very close to the end of our conversation, Dr. Maddalena, but I really want us to summarize and to look at 3-5 tips that can help us, that we can apply today and can help us focus on heart health and emotional health, and will help us almost introduce ourselves into Heart Q Method.
Wonderful, Andra. Thank you so much. It's been really wonderful here having the space with you and connecting. And, you know, my, if I were to say, like, what are the most important messages, is number one is to, it's going to sound weird, but being willing to be wrong. You know, the way that we think we are, who we think we are, the way that we think we are, what we think the truth is, you know, to be open to consider, is that really true? Is that really so? Because there is so much more. I used to believe this is who I am and this is my life and I am like this and I am like that and that's it. And when we do that, we become set in those ways. But there's this invitation that I have for everyone to just really let that go and consider there is so much more to who we are as a human being. And when we're living from our hearts, there's such an expanded way to be that is actually ever changing and ever shifting. So that's my first invitation to people, to really consider that there's so much more that we are, that it's hard to define. Number two, my second takeaway message is that whenever we're having the most difficult life moments, you know, a midlife crisis, some kind of crisis, whatever that is, whether it's a physical crisis, an anxiety crisis, an emotional crisis, that it is difficult, it is painful. And look at that as life asking you, wow, something here is for me to go inside and to heal. Because when that's happening, it means that whatever it is that we've been living so far, it's taken us away from ourselves. And we're not aligned with our truth. We're not aligned with our heart. So whenever that's happening, my invitation is to just, you know, not with judgment or anything like that, but to just use that as a portal to go within ourselves, to discover what is that healing that I need to do? What is it that life is inviting me into that I'm not in alignment? I'm not living in alignment. And that's why this is happening. And look at that as a way to go within ourselves, heal, and really discover what is our truth? What is my healing? What is my purpose? And really shift gears there. So that's my second. And the third one is, you know, everybody's so busy in life. Like, everybody's running around and busy. And, you know, people say, I just don't have time. I used to have the same thing. It's a limiting belief. I don't have time. But if we're running around and living life in that rushed energy, that's a stress energy. What I invite people is, find that time. Make that time for yourself. create that space. Because, you know, before we show up to the world and to others, really to show up to ourselves, you know, fill our cup. What does it mean to fill my cup? What do I need to do for me so I can feel good? You know, what is it that I need to heal? What is it that I need to do in the morning for me so that I can fill my cup before I go around filling other people's cups? So this is my invitation. And really, I believe and I feel that there is not one person on this planet that doesn't have this issue. You know, we're all born as pure love in our hearts, but then stuff happens when we're young. Stuff happens, whether it's, you know, unconscious patternings, experiences, trauma, and we get separated from the heart. We go to the mind because it's safer. And so my invitation is to consider, what would it be like? What would it be like for you to open yourselves to drop into your heart? What would life be like to live from that, from your heart, from the consciousness of your heart, and to from the intelligence of the heart? And how much more expansive and vital and peaceful and harmonious and loving it would be to have an experience when we live life from our hearts.
Dr. Madalina, for sure, I've taken some really good learnings from our conversation. I definitely need to be a bit more observant and take that step back and analyze a bit more how I live every day, and maybe try to start the day, as you said, with something that's for myself, fill my own cup so that I can focus on others. So thank you so much for coming on today. I really want our listeners to get in touch with you and discuss HealthQ method and see how they can improve their lives. So please give us some details about your contact, maybe social media links, anything that can help us find you online.
Yes, thank you so much, Andra. And the best thing to do is to go to the website, because everything is in our website. It's HealthQ.com. And that's where we have all the links to the social media and to the programs that we have and our email. And we have a lot of stuff there that is really to take people back to their hearts. The program that we're actually just about to bring out right now, it's called Unleash Your Heart. And it's a live experience and combined with an online program where we actually take people through this exact step of, number one, uncovering how people have been living life, you know, from the unconscious way of living, from the stress pathways, and really turning the lights on and being held in a loving container. Second part being, okay, then if I'm not all those things, who am I really? And that's our heart. And there's a process for us to experience. What does it mean? Like, who I am? And number three is, now how do I create my life from this place? And especially with the New Year's coming up and all the resolutions people always create and never really reach, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And that's what we go into in that third part of this program called Unleash Your Heart. So yeah, if this is resonating with you and this is something that you're aligned and feeling pulled into, I would be happy to support people on that journey. And you can find us at HealthQ.com.
Dr. Madalina, thank you so much for a wonderful conversation. I wish you all the best with your new program, and I hope you'll come back next year to tell us more about the program, because you just throw it at the end of our conversation when we didn't have the chance to approach the topic at all. But best of luck, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you so much, Andra. It's been so wonderful and delightful sharing this space with you, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.